Straits of San Piquito will not be heard tonight, so that we may bring you the following.
This is Gordon Pepper, and I left my heart in San Piquito.
A Quinn Martin production. No.
Quinn Martin production.
A Quinn Martin production.
There you go. Okay, fun with buttons. No, this is going to be a fun show because it's now, you know, it is hot, humid, and you know what that means, Chico.
It's hot, it's humid, it's rainy, and people are moving into the house on the Radford lot. We're going to talk about the premiere of Big Brother. We're going to talk about the latest two celebrity teams to take on Millionaire. We've got the fall of Isaac, ladies and gentlemen, and it's just goes to show you, it's not just what you know, it's how you play the game, my friends.
And it's how you bet, and he knew it too, because you heard him scream it. You heard him scream it, okay, which we'll get to, okay?
Plus, we've got Reading Between the Lines and the big story from earlier this morning, Emmy's favorites have been named. We're going to go over all of that tonight because from somewhere in America, Hot Town, Summer in the City, WLTI is Dirty and Gritty. And it's on. Let's go.
Whee!
Welcome to episode 454 of the World's Strongest Game Show podcast here at 5-1. My name is Jason Block. This is We Love to Interrupt. I am with my brothers from another mother, Chico Alexander and Gordon Pepper. Gentlemen, it's been a week, but how are you?
It has been a week, and it's only Wednesday.
Yep, but time for some breaking news. Hit the sounder, please. The Primetime Emmy nominations were announced today, and for all the drama and all the comedies and all that stuff, we don't really care.
Yeah.
There are four
except for the Bears, because I like the Bear.
Okay.
But there are I'm going to go, excuse me, guys, I'm going to go out and take care of my pet rocks and water them. I'll be back later.
Oh, come on.
Gordon, be a sport. Be a good guy.
Can you
please pet rock shaving is a sport.
Yeah,
it's
yeah, I know.
Olympics in 2028.
So you're going to LA then? Okay. All right.
Right next to squirrel waterboarding.
The four big nominees in our favorite genre of television, that would be reality and game programming. Let's start with the reality competition programming, the outstanding reality competition programming. On the ones and twos this year, your nominees, The Amazing Race, RuPaul's Drag Race, Top Chef, The Traitors, and The Voice. The only real surprise here, no Survivor.
Yeah. That's about it.
Yeah, I'm wondering why The Voice is in and Survivor is not, to be quite honest. That being said, again, it's an honor to be nominated. There's all sorts of competition that's out there for those spots, and whoever gets it, who gets to be nominated, you deserve, you know, your kudos.
Yeah, now this is the first nomination for, I believe, TCA Darling, The Traitors, because they won the TCA Award earlier this week, and... Mm-hmm.
By the way, they're going to win the show, too, by the way. So let me go to the outstanding host for reality.
Wait. I think The Traitors is very good. I think they're going to need a monumental effort to overthrow RuPaul. I'm not sure if that's good enough. I think in the eyes of the fans, it would be good enough. We will see if the voters... seen the same thing, even though it wouldn't shock me if they did.
Okay.
All right.
So then we move on to the hosts of the reality competition show. And that would be RuPaul Charles for RuPaul's Drag Race, Lori Grenier, Mark Cuban, Kevin O'Leary, Barbara Corcoran, Robert Herkovich, Damon John, the hosts of Shark Tank. Alan Cumming for the Traitors. Kristen Kish, good for her. First nomination for Top Chef. And Jeff Probst for Survivor. Host but not show. That's interesting to me.
Quite honestly, I think you have the right set here. I want to say there's no surprises. I think everybody that's nominated deserved to be nominated. It's a tough field this year.
This is
RuPaul's got his hands full. If he wins again, it's earned. And if anybody knocks him out, it's also earned.
Yeah, this is a big stacked field. RuPaul is always as the defending champion, is the perennial favorite. But don't sleep on any of the newbies, Alan Cumming or Kristen Kish. Don't sleep on them.
Correct. Now let's move over to the outstanding game show. Okay. Yeah.
Come here, Little Rocks. Come here.
Yes.
Okay. You can tell that Let's Make a Deal did not make the field of five this year because Gordon has shown.
Yeah, I know.
The zero interest.
Okay. So we have Celebrity
it's
Family.
Like the Yankees not making the playoffs. You know, there's a winner. I don't care.
Right. Yeah. Celebrity Family Feud, Jeopardy, Password, The Price is Right at Night, and Wheel of Fortune. Now, Gordon, I am very happy that they nominated the nighttime version.
Where's my rocks? Here, Kapoopy. Come here, little Pookie. Okay.
So,
in all seriousness, going seriousness here. I like the fact that they did that. I'm sort of surprised that Celebrity Wheel of Fortune isn't there if they went after The Price is Right at Night. But Price is Right at Night, I thought for the most part, had a better season than the daytime Price is Right.
Yes, so yes, exactly.
Agreed.
Yes, agreed.
That just speaks to the caliber of show that The Price is Right at Night is. I mean, you have everything about The Price is Right daytime, but it has nighttime guts, and it's not afraid to flex the nighttime guts.
They put in Celebrity Family Feud instead of regular Family Feud. I was a little surprised about that.
I'm not. Celebrity Family Feud, I think, is a lot better show than regular Family Feud.
Okay.
No. You can be a little bit more slicker also on that. It's more fun. It's less serious. It's one of the reasons why I like Drag Race All-Stars for that reason, is that it's fun. You have people being able to play the way that they want to play.
Now, finally, go ahead.
There we go to the outstanding host for a game show. And looking at the five people they mentioned, and you could have mentioned a whole lot of people, but these five, you cannot.
You know, graphite's a nice, really lumpy sedimentary stone, right?
Yes, exactly. Wayne Brady, not there.
Yeah, that's okay. I'll talk about Wayne Brady.
Yeah, I know. We know.
I'm gonna let Gordon feel his feelings. I'm gonna let Gordon feel his feelings for a moment.
I'm in my feelings.
Okay, now. Outstanding host
feeling.
For
nothing more than feeling.
Oh.
All right, I'm done now.
Okay, all right. Outstanding host for a game show. Can you tell I'm working with a bunch of yahoos around
just
here? By the way, Tom Cavanaugh snubbed. Outstanding host for a game show. Steve Harvey for Celebrity Family Feud. Ken Jennings for Jeopardy. Kiki Palmer for Password, Jane Lynch for Weakest Link, and Pat Sajak for Wheel of Fortune. Now, first of all, Wayne Brady got snubbed, which makes me sad, because, again, he's really good. I mean, this not to take anything away from the five who are nominated, they are very good nominations.
Chico.
Yes?
Can we just say congratulations to Pat Sajak for winning the Emmy?
Yes, I was about to say.
That was my second point. I was going to make a second point. It's like, because Pat Sajak's last hurrah, woohoo, Yeah, you know he. There's no way he's not going to win this.
Correct. It's going to be Pat Sajak. And do you think they do the double with Wheel of Fortune itself, too?
I'm not sure if they do that. That's going to be a little bit trickier. I know Jeopardy did that when Alex Trebek won right near the end with that in Jeopardy. I could see that happening. I don't know this time around if it does.
No, because I don't. I think they're going to split it. I don't think Jeopardy gets it because I think they had a strike issue that, you know, again, you know, we talk about that. But I'm
starting my writing campaign, by the way, so I'm going to send something on petitions.org to.
I think it's going to be either. I think it's going to be Password or Price is Right. But we're going to see. I believe what is it? September 17th, I think.
Yeah,
it is?
So it's going to be in September. We're going to see who walks away with Emmy. And by the way, my money is on the bear for outstanding comedy. Just saying. Anyway, let's go from the trophies to the Sony, because, hey, Johnny, how you doing?
From the Alex Trebek
Studios. Oh, we're going here. Okay.
Studios. This is Jeopardy.
I got to talk about this because I've got some thoughts, and I'm sure you do, too. Not as many thoughts as Isaac Hirsch, though. Now, we've said as much at the top of the show. It's like one of those cases where you wish you could take the ball back as soon as you threw it.
Right. So and this is
wishes he could take his wager back as soon as he made it.
So he was going for his 10th win on Tuesday. He had a 9-day total of $215,390. And going into the final, he was only $900 down from Jay, who is Jay Fisher, a government relations manager from Lyle, Illinois, and Erica Stromerson, an entry writer and grad student from Woodinville, Washington. Erica, unfortunately, you know, she's out of it at $600. Now, Isaac had 15-3, Jay had 16-2. Okay, now, the correct, well, let's just give the clue and we'll explain what happened. The clue is 1960s people. He said that California prison psychological tests he took were ones that he designed, so he made himself look docile and unlikely to escape. Then he did.
Oh, me, pick me.
You actually know this? I did not.
I knew this.
Oh, ask me a hard one. I know this also, except obviously I'm not going to give you that answer.
No, seriously, because I had no clue. Tell me about it, Chico.
Turn on. Tune in.
Yeah, I know. Drop out. Dr. Timothy Leary, right?
Leary.
No, but just tell me about, did he actually legitimately design the tests in the California prisons, and when he was arrested, he took them and realized that he did it, and then he escaped prison? Is that what he did?
That's exactly what he did. It was very, very Machiavellian of him.
Wow. Okay. So here's what happened.
By the way, I had who is Clint Eastwood because, of course, he escaped from Alcatraz.
Yes, he did. Okay.
And he became
so,
mayor of Carmel. Anyway.
Okay. Yes. So Erica had no idea, bet nothing. Okay. Now, Isaac says, who is Charles Manson? That was wrong. But bet $14,000. Oh, no, it's a buzzer.
Bad idea, Gene.
Okay, the correct bet would have been 901.
Yeah.
Yes.
You max out your own money while you force Jay to get it right.
Which he doesn't, and Isaac screamed, I bet wrong. You heard him, right?
He's like, I
bet wrong. So we don't have to punish him any further.
We don't because
the thing was is that it was like a he whiffed on that It's like he's like it's that 3-2 pitch that you know is going to be low and you swing at it anyway. Dumb. That was a dumb decision, but you know what? He's a 9-day champion and he's going to be in the TOC. And he's very good.
See him there. And you know what? Strong favorite to win. Strong favorite.
As of now, yes.
Yeah. Now, go to tonight's match, which features Jay going up against Nella Ballauer, a church secretary from Amarillo, Texas, and Zach Eckstein, a law clerk from New York City.
Yes, but this game was ugly.
This was bowling shirt ugly. Sorry, Gordon. Jay?
Whatever.
Yeah.
Check me when I'm down. Pour salt in my wounds. Make me drink ammonia. What else do you want from me today?
Nothing at all. But Jay had it locked.
Yeah.
Okay.
19,700 his final score. The other two players not even close. Final Jeopardy category: literary characters. Here's your clue. In a 1980 National Book Award winner, we learned that this title character gets his name from the rank of his late dad, technical sergeant.
Again, I did not know this, but it is T.S. Garp from The World According to Garp. No one knew it. Jay bets 5,300. He comes back tomorrow, Thursday rather, with 16,199 as we head into the end of the penultimate week of season 40.
Yes, and now where we go, we talked about endings, now we're going to talk about beginnings, and Jason has told me that he has rehearsed his lines for this moment. I'm going to hit the button, and you're going to do your thing, Jay, okay?
Thank you.
Previously on Big Brother.
Jag won Big Brother 25, and since the studio needed some strike programming, we had a bunch of alumni come to Radford to play some reindeer games. But it's the summer, and we have 90 days of 16 and possibly 17 house guests as we start the new season of Big Brother. Oh, thanks. Oh, man.
Riddick. No, that was just every time Clayton says Big Brother, something random happens.
Right. So here's what
the button.
So the theme this year is Big Brother AI, but we'll explain that in a minute. Chico, you have the first 8 house guests coming in.
I do have the first 8 house guests coming in. The first 8 of the 16 house guests arrived tonight as we record this, and they are Tucker Delorier, a marketing and sales executive from Boston. Angela Murray, a real estate agent from Long Beach. Kimo Apaka, a mattress sales rep from Hilo, Hawaii. Chelsea Bam, a nonprofit director from Rancho Cucamonga. Cam Sullivan Brown, a physical therapist from Bowie, Maryland. Rubina Bernabe, an event bartender from Los Angeles, California. Joseph Rodriguez, a video store clerk from Tampa. Yes, apparently we still have video stores.
Yes, and by the way, with his 70s porn stash, just to let you know.
And Mackenzie Manbeck, a construction project manager from Houston. And then
so,
a 9th contestant.
Well, no. Well, let me explain. Let me set it up.
Jay.
Okay. So the 8 people go into the house, and then they are told by Julie to come into the living room and go into the house, and then they have to go into the backyard and then go to do their first duty as Big Brother contestants. What they have to do is that they get to see the profile of a 17th contestant, Ainsley, a surf shop employee from San Diego, California, with, you know, blue hair and, you know, nose ring and all that stuff. So they have to decide whether they want this person in or out. So She said, you know, if you vote for me, great. There'll be something possibly good happening. I don't know. But if you don't vote for me, well, we'll see what happens. So it turns out, and I don't know if this was rigged or not. Well, let's just say forced. It turns out it was a 4-4 tie. A 4-4 tie does not mean that they go in. It turns out that you had to get 5 people in. So.
Yeah, you had to have 5 yes votes. It had to be a majority of the votes. Ainsley was denied entry in her human form. Jason has already rehearsed this as well.
Right, because what happened was is that Ainsley said, well, you know, I appreciate you not voting for me, but, you know, I ain't really going anywhere because I am Ainsley, the Artificial Intelligence Network System Learning Environment, or BBAI.
W-O-R-K, Work Radio.
It's a work!
She is going to control the game. So the people that voted for her are going to go into a competition to see who will have their game upgraded, and then the other 4 will go into a competition to see who will have their game downgraded, meaning that if in the downgrade game, the last person to finish gets their game downgraded. The upgrade competition was a game of Simon, Gordon. You know, it was a game of Simon. But while it was happening, they were spinning around, so they had to remember the color combinations quickly. Okay. On the downgrade competition, they had to go into 4 different protective chambers where there were snakes. What was it? Snakes, scorpions, spiders, and cockroaches. A little Fear Factor action. And then they had to unscramble words and then plug in the AI. And then the fastest, the least amount of time became the downgrade. Now, what happened was is that Chelsea?
So the upgrade game of color calibration was won by the fastest player. That was Mackenzie. Her game will be upgraded. We don't know how.
Right.
Meanwhile, the loser of the downgrade game with all of the creepy crawlies was Chelsea. And she forgot to plug in the device once she was done. That is a rookie mistake. Neither of the 2 women will know their current position, and they won't learn it until they meet the second group of 8 tomorrow night.
Correct.
That being said, we have to address the elephant that cannot be rewound in the room.
What's that? Am I missing something?
Okay, so we have... Again, if you're watching on Paramount Plus, you can watch.
Oh, yes, right. Yep.
If you are watching on Pluto, there are selected live feeds, and you can watch those. What you cannot do is rewind and rewatch. That was the notice was buried as such in a bunch of other Q&As about the Big Brother's live feeds. So talk about a buried leaf there. And the viewers are not happy about this.
No, and I can imagine that they wouldn't be. You know, the issue is this, and I think we all know this. On one aspect, you want to see the gameplay, which is great. On the other aspect, what CBS is trying to do is hedge their bets and try to make as little controversy as possible, because we all know what happens, which is we find controversy Hightailer season. It's going to be rewound, and we played over and over and over and over and over and over again.
This is I imagine that this is going to be a case of the Streisand effect. It's like somebody somewhere is going to do nothing but watch the Big Brother live feed, and they're going to hear something that they shouldn't.
What else is new there? I don't think that's anything there. But as someone, Chico, that does your sort of videography and video setting, there is nothing stopping you from taking a Pluto feed, converting it into your television, and then starting to video record nonstop on your DVR, recording that. So you can get the footage and play it forever and ever and ever and amen. There's nothing stopping you from doing that.
Of course there isn't.
So yeah, it's a little bit annoying. It may require some more work from the people that like to record and capture videos, but that's not going to stop them.
Nope. So, anyway.
So, in one aspect, yeah, I understand it, but in the other aspect, it's much ado about nothing. You're still going to get the screenshots that you're going to get, and you're still going to see all sorts of video footage. Whether CBS likes that or not, because the technology is out there already.
And also, Big Brother Twitter always carries the receipts. They do.
You know what? Shout out to Big Brother Twitter. They know what's up. By the way, tomorrow we will meet Takora Clotty, a crochet business owner from Chicago via London. Matt Hardman, a tech sales rep from Roswell, Georgia. Cedric Hodges, a former Marine from Running Springs, California. Kenny Kelly, a former undercover cop from Boston. Leah Peters, a VIP cocktail server from Miami. Brooklyn Rivera, a business administrator from Covington, Georgia. Lisa Weintraub, a celebrity chef from Los Angeles.
What?
Lisa Weintraub.
Celebrity chef.
Yeah.
Who's been on television before.
Yeah. And
not on a game show. I don't believe she's been on a game show, but she has been on TV.
And
a Quinn Martin production.
Quinn Martin, a nurse recruiter from Omaha, Nebraska. They will get their own introduction to Ainsley, but they won't know the real matter of Ainsley until they find out. But we will. So it's going to be funny.
Okay. So now we need... Okay, now we need to go... Ah, yes, Gordon. You don't want to toot your own horn, but you called it, didn't you?
I did. It would have been the only thing that would have been better is if the drag queens played Tic Tac Toe and that figured out who's going to be getting RuPaul's.
Oh, jeez.
But if we can't have that, we may as well have a knockout drag down RuPalooza. No, I'm not dropping it. You're all going to have to deal with that for the whole entire show.
Yeah, okay, yes.
Sorry, not sorry.
Fine.
And of course, so in round one of the Lollapalooza SmackDown, Got Mick loses to Angeria, who advances to round two. They sink to My Lovin'. They're never going to get it. Vanessa Vanjie chooses Plastic Tiara, who chooses When I Grow Up. Vanjie wins. Nina West loses to Chanel, who they sang You Spin Me Round Like a Record by Dead or Alive. And then Georges and Roxy Andrews wins because she sings Holding Out for a Hero by Bonnie Tyler. Vanessa Vanjie loses to Chanel, who won to I'm Every Woman. The Angeria and Roxy sing Two Grooves in the Heart. Great song. Roxy wins. And Roxy wins the whole thing by singing to Break Free by Ariana Grande and Zedd. Okay, Roxy and Chanel each get a badge. By the way, there's something we haven't done, and I think we should, because it's we need to actually give the charity totals.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to do that.
All right.
So Plastic Tiara has raised $1,500 for the Asian American Foundation. Vanessa Vanjie has done 6,500 for the ASPCA. Chanel has also raised 6,500 for the Anxiety, Depression, and Association of America. Nina West has raised 6,500 for the Trevor Project. Georges has raised 9,000 for the National Alliance on Mental Illness. But then we get to the top four. Gottmik has raised $24,000 for Trans Lifeline. Angeria Van Michaels has raised $31,000 for the National Black Justice Coalition. And Roxy Andrews has raised $39,000 for a charity called Miracle of Love. And the badge total, as we have it right now, the top three are Roxy, Plastique, and Georges. They have 5, 4, and 4, respectively. Angeria and Chanel have 3. Vanessa, Gottmik, and Nina West have 2 going into episode 11 this coming Friday.
Ooh.
So things are getting interesting, but not so interesting on AGT.
Yeah. Okay. So the best act of the night, and we're going to go 30 seconds of AGT on this, but the best act of the night, Dia Soleil Sanchez. We kick off with the best act of the night, singing a Billie Eilish hit.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the act of the night. And then it goes downhill from there until we get to your favorite G Horse.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no. I mean, I would rather see a Seth Ward marathon.
But yeah, we had some okay singers in the middle.
Seth Horse. Where's Seth Horse?
Seth Horse. Oh God.
Seth Horse playing Tic Tac Gill in America's Got Talent. Now that's worth something right there.
Okay. So, yeah, and then we had and then in the middle, we had the Jerusalem Youth Choir, which is obviously incredible. Cornelio and Jabu, a drummer and a dancer, they were really good. Mervin, who is a singer, Thinking Out Loud. It was good, but not as good as the little girl who sang Billie Eilish.
Seems to be a lot of youngsters getting the golden buzzer this season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what? They say youth is wasted on the young. I say talent is brought up by the young.
Golden buzzers are being wasted on the young.
Yeah. So that's basically all there was to it this week.
And let's get back to Millionaire. And this week we have Rosie O'Donnell playing for the Guide Dogs of America, with Lisa Ann Walter playing for the Fund for Women's Equality.
You are an old friend of Rosie's, if I'm not mistaken, Jay.
Well,
yeah.
Back in the day, I was. But of course, we also have to say
keep in mind that Rosie O'Donnell won $500,000 on a celebrity edition of Millionaire.
Yeah, I
so
was there for it.
She is certainly capable of running it, yes.
And then You have Lisa Ann Walter, who, again, Celebrity Jeopardy champion and Tournament of Champions qualifier.
Yes.
So if anybody is equipped to make a deep run of the 15, it's these two. But they have to ask the audience on, I believe it's 8,000. Europe's most active volcano, Mount Etna, is known for puffing smoke rings into the sky over Sicily, earning it comparisons to what movie character? Hannibal Lecter, Wolverine, Indiana Jones, or Gandalf?
Well, they asked the audience, which was a good call because it was Gandalf, of course, looked like Sauron, of course.
Yep.
And then, okay, they get 9...
And then they have this for $32,000. Regarded as one of the worst lines in cinema history, Is It Still Raining, I Hadn't Noticed, was uttered in what film that turns 30 in 2024? The English Patient, Scent of a Woman, Four Weddings and a Funeral, or the Bridges of Madison County?
I actually sat through this garbage on a bus to Atlantic City. It was 4 weddings and a funeral. God, that was awful. Ugh.
The 50-50 left B and C. Jimmy went with 4 weddings and a funeral. They go with 4 weddings and a funeral, and they get to play for $64,000. Woohoo!
Yay!
All right.
And this is the Nikki Heyman question, actually.
I broke the kayfabe.
Because despite being approximately 4,475 miles away from the Hawaiian capital, what NFL team wears a shade of blue officially called Honolulu Blue?
Oh!
You actually knew this, didn't you?
I know this because Tom Zalewski is my OQL teammate, baby.
Mm-hmm. That would be the Lions, and Michael Chiklis' daughter Ornum was the final lifeline, and they wanted it to Cowboys. So, no. Oh, and by the way, this is a great 200. The 125 was easy. The 250 was hard, and I love this one. Okay, you want me to give it 125?
Give it a whack.
The 125, unbeknownst to Joe Beth Williams, real human remains were used for the blood-curdling pool scene at the end of what 80s horror film? Lost Boys, Nightmare on Elm Street, Evil Dead, or Poltergeist? Gordon, you, as a horror movie fan, if you don't get this one, I'm just going to take your card away.
Well, there's only one movie of the four that Joe Beth Williams was in, and that happens to be Poltergeist.
That is correct.
Correct. All okay.
Right. Where's my money?
Okay.
Give me my money.
It's been donated to charity, sorry. Anyway, 250,000. The only one-word country whose name contains all 5 vowels is located on what continent? Asia, Europe, Africa, South America. This is Trivia 101 right here. If you know the name of the country is Mozambique, you know where it is.
It's Africa. So they go for 500,000. Now, Gordon, you're going to love this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Which of the following was a character from Great Expectations and not a former member contestant on RuPaul's Drag Race? Dusty Ray Bottoms, Rebecca Klaskok, Victoria Porkchop Parker, and Belinda Pocket.
Well, I happen to know the answer to this, as you would figure that I would know. Where's the stack of questions for me? That's what I want to know. The answer is D.
What? D?
D.
B as in boy?
D as in dinosaur. No,
that's
D as
correct.
In dinosaur.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Because Rebecca and Porkchop were on season 1. I don't
season
know what
one.
Season. I don't know where Dusty was.
Dusty was season 10 and lost a lip sync to one of the people that would eventually win a season of RuPaul's Drag Race, which would be Monet Exchange.
Yep.
Wow, that's very, very good.
Gordon with the knowledge, ladies and gentlemen.
They bailed out and split 250.
Yeah, and if they went for it, they would have been right. Oh my God, we would have seen a $1 million question. Anywho, moving on, we have Sebastian Maniscalco playing for Tag Heuer Foundation and Omar J. Dorsey playing for the DeKalb School of the Arts. They make it all the way to 32,000, where they have to ask the host about this. Inspired by a short-memoried animal, relentless TV optimist Ted Lasso favors what motto to remind his team not to dwell on their mistakes? Be a sparrow, be a goldfish, be a ferret, or be a fruit fly. I know this because I love Ted Lasso.
I have never seen an episode of Ted Lasso to save my life. Sorry.
I love Ted Lasso. I love Ted Lasso. Jason Sudeikis is a genius, and Hannah Waddingham is exquisite. But they ask the host, he says, be a goldfish. They go with it. They're right. Then they have to ask the audience on 64,000. In 2024, what 70-year-old film franchise won its first ever Academy Award when its latest installment took home the Oscar for visual effects?
Oh, me!
James Bond, Mission Impossible or Godzilla?
Me! I knew this one before I even looked at it, because Godzilla X, what is it? X minus one, I believe, was the one that won it. Yeah.
Yep. So, okay. 88% of the audience agree with you, and we see a question worth $125,000, or as we like to call it around here, the Jason block mark.
Mm-hmm.
Mathematically, which of these numbers is the largest? Numbers of hours in a year, number of seconds in a day, number of days in a decade, number of minutes in a week.
Okay, let me do the numbers right, okay?
Okay.
So, hours in a year, that's 24 times 365, which is about 70,000 ish. Okay.
8,760, but go on.
Number of seconds in a day. So, okay. So the 24 hours in a day. So it would be 60 times 24, which is 3,600 times 24, which is.
It's a lyric and a Chris Allen.
86,400.
It's a lyric and a Chris Allen song, Jason.
Is it 86,400?
Yes.
Okay. Days in a decade. So that would be 3,650, right?
Not counting for leap years, but yes.
Okay. And minutes in a week. So it's 24 times 60 times 7. That's nowhere even close. That second is in a day.
Yep. 50-50 left B and D. They go with B, and they get the game worth $250,000. Admitting she wasn't very religious, writer Nora Ephron once said if she had a religion, it would be you can never have too much what? Cashmere, chutzpah, butter, or dental floss?
I would have run. I had no idea.
All right, they call Jorge Garcia, and they ultimately go with B, chutzpah. That took a lot of chutzpah. Unfortunately, it was wrong.
So they go down to 32.
Yeah, the correct answer was C, butter.
Which is true. You can never have enough butter, but good butter, not the bad butter, you know?
Yeah, you know, upstate New York butter.
Or Irish butter, actually, for real. Okay. Anyway, we need to end, and we're doing another season review, and of course it's our friends at Game Show Network. Now, here's the interesting thing. What I love about Game Show Network is that they aren't afraid to try. They throw a lot of stuff against the wall and see what sticks. We have shows like Beat the Bridge, Switch, and, of course, Split Second. So, yeah, I mean, they've had a good season. Not a great one, but a good one.
They had a good season. They had a B season. I'll tell you right now, they've had some really good, really solid originals in Split Second and Switch, and of course Masterminds, which is always good, and People Puzzler, right, which is just a sentimental favorite now. And they had some really good acquisitions with Press Your Luck and $100,000 Pyramid, Wheel of Fortune, Family Feud, Card Sharks, for better or for worse.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had shows like Blank Slate and Hey Yahoo. The less said about those two, the better. But yeah, B's the proper grade for the Game Show Network season this year. Gordon?
I'm going to actually be a little bit higher than you guys. I'm going to go B+. There was no game that was awful. And that's important. You know, for us, the quote-unquote bad games like Hey Yahoo were generic, but there wasn't awful. You didn't go, there was no show that went, why the heck are you here? in terms of that. And the hits were there. And as you guys said, the moves that they made were smart ones. And some of the great reboots that they had, like Split Second, were fantastic reboots that got renewed. So I think they had a very good year. And there really wasn't any stinkers in terms of what they brought up. So I'm going to go B+.
Okay. But the thing is that GSN is still on the upswing because they're trying new things. I like the fact that they're trying new stuff.
Well, right. How many networks out there can actually say that they've put out a whole bunch of new shows?
Not many. No.
We're going to go ahead and take us a break here. Still to come. Oh, corporate. But first, it's all the news you didn't even know you need to know with Gordon Pepper and Jason Block. I'm Chico Alexander, 6 Day with 5 and 1, your home for We Love Twitter Up. You give us 22 minutes.
And we'll give you 22 different ideas on Big Brother that could very well be new characters that wind up in the AI lounge, like Max Headroom. You remember Max Headroom.
I remember Max Headroom.
Samira, the ring. She's going to come out of your TV set. Huh. Mr. Smith, the Matrix.
Ooh.
Scary.
Scary stuff indeed. See what comes out of our TV sets when we return here on 5 and 1. We'll be right back.
There's a place to share gossip about the office party fun, and a place to share the story you tell everyone. There's a place to share a laugh about when things went wrong, and a place to share the video of you dancing to your song. There's a place to share spare change, lunch, and your time. But we could all be better at sharing how we're feeling inside. 76% of employees have struggled with at least one issue that affected their mental health. When you share, you're not alone.
Has been brought to you by the Big Brother Loser Man Cave, because it's not just enough to have a lounge, it's the AI season. So you gotta have your video games, you gotta have your snacks, you gotta have Sega Genesis, because, you know, if you're out, you're not getting the finest stuff. You're getting your PlayStation, you're getting your Nintendo, you're getting your Atari 2600, you know, all the old stuff. So, again, it's the Big Brother Man Cave / Arcade Station. Phil Moore hosts.
No.
I mean, it's got to be an upgrade from a lounge, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, but we're going to have, I think, our first one next week, right?
We shall see. We still need to introduce the other five to Ainsley. That's going to be fun, right?
The other eight, yes. But you know what's also fun? Gordon saying this.
We all got beautiful brain footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morris. As always, you can follow Doug Morris on all social media at Doug Morris Games, at Rock 104 Rock Tracks, and at Tracks Productions. Make sure you're listening every Sunday to Rock 104 for Rock Tracks with Doug Morris. That is Rock 104 WXRR 104.5 on your FM dial, and also all over the known multiverse. on rock104fm.com, on the Odyssey app, and the Rock104WXRR app. And now, two ball bats and a bat with a gigantic question mark on it. Two more networks coming out with their fall plans, and we have them right here. First of all, we have Fox. A lot of unscripteds are coming back, and it all begins September 25th with the season premieres of The Masked Singer and The Four, understated gem of the last season. And then the next day, we have the season premieres of Hell's Kitchen and Crime Scene Kitchen.
Crime Scene Kitchen is a guilty favorite of mine. So I'm really excited that's coming back for more.
Right. Additional series to premiere in mid-season include Extracted, Lego Masters, Lego Masters Celebrity Holiday Bricktacular, Next Level Chef, The Real Full Monty, and a show that was scheduled for the fall but got bumped to mid-season, Special Forces World's Toughest Test.
That's another one of those shows that I didn't think would succeed, but Gordon, it did.
It did. It had the right balance in there. It took itself seriously, but not over the top seriously.
Right.
So, good for them. I'm glad.
Yes. Now we move over to CBS, who has their fall schedule look like this. It begins on September 18th with the season premiere of Survivor. Then we have, on September 29th, a preview, a sneak peek, if you will, of The Summit, followed by a new Big Brother. Then on October 6th, we have Big Brother, a new episode. On October 9th, we had a new episode of Survivor, followed by an encore of The Summit premiere. The next day, we have a new episode of Big Brother, followed by the season finale on October 13th. Then we have a new episode of The Summit on October 18th. With Amazing Race, Hollywood Squares, The Price is Right at Night, and Rate the Cage, all scheduled for mid-season TBA.
And of course, Amazing Race, I think, is it filming now? Is Amazing Race filming?
It is filming.
It has filmed. It's done.
Oh, it's done. So it's in the can. It's just ready for launch.
Right. Yes, according to they went through Los Angeles, Hong Kong, Osaka, Sabrosa, and it concluded in Miami. So,
cool. That is so we'll,
yeah, that's going to, again, that's going to be fun. But what is this question mark, Bat?
This question mark, Bat, has to do with a new show that is going to be the next big thing coming from Studio Lambert, the producers of The Circle and Traitors.
It is called The Anonymous.
Here's the logline. The Anonymous is a strategic competition played in two worlds, the real world and Anonymous mode. The Digital Anonymous Networking Interface, or DANI for short, has invited 12 players to live in her domain side by side to raise a prize fund of up to $100,000. Despite their close quarters, all players will have their own private underground hideouts where each is completely anonymous and can say anything and everything behind the mask of a unique handle. So it's basically The Circle meets The Traitors with a little bit of keyboard courage thrown in.
No. What's the that Fox reality show when they were in the pods?
Solitary.
That's it. Yep.
Yep. It'll debut on Monday, August 19th, with a 3-episode premiere event across the USA, Bravo, and Sci-Fi. And if you are a reality show looking to make a mark on USA, of course you're going to premiere after WWE Raw.
Yes.
By the way, we have the contestants, by the way.
Oh, do we?
Yes, we do.
Any whole fenders?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We'll start with the newbies first. Marcel Cunningham from Seattle. Sydney Dorsey from Emanuel County, Georgia. Dylan Freeler from Los Angeles, Lily Jenkins from Detroit, Andy King from Charleston, South Carolina, Robbie J. Liu from Los Angeles, Casey Mize from Knoxville, Christopher Schulstad from Charlotte, Tarina Tolbert from Charles County, Maryland, Jack Usher from Brooklyn, New York, and the two reality offenders. From Milwaukee, Xavier Prather. And from my neck of the woods, Fayetteville, North Carolina, Nina Twine. Xavier, of course, from Big Brother, Nina Twine. Y'all know who her mom is.
No, I don't.
Sandra Diaz Twine.
Oh, okay.
Now, this is Nina's American debut.
Yes, she's a Survivor Australia veteran.
She is.
And, but that's
Boston
not on
Rob? Where's Boston Rob?
He's not busy. So, on the date book, by the way, we have the season premiere of Fresh Your Luck on ABC and the premiere of Lucky 13, which I've seen a lot of previews for, and we know people who are working on it, and we know people who have auditioned, including myself. I want to see how this is. I'm gonna tape it tomorrow. We'll have a review next week. Then on Tuesday, we have Dress My Tour premiering on Hulu. The Celebrity Family Feud pairings are Anthony Anderson family versus the Robert Thicke, and then Walker Hayes versus Rachel Bilson, and then the season finale of Password with Lindsay Vonn. And then next week is Gordon Ramsay's Food Stars on Fox. But let's talk about that app, though, and this is something that I found, actually. So, outside of being a best-selling author, Emmy-nominated game show host, and pretty round all-around good guy, Ken Jennings is actually involved in a Kickstarter for a game called Half Truth. It's called Half Truth Second Guess. It is the sequel to the original Half Truth game, and it's also created by a guy by the name of Richard Garfield. I believe he's a game designer, if I'm not mistaken. I know he's done. Oh, he's also done not Garriott Garfield. Garfield.
Richard
mathematician
Garfield.
And he's a mathematician and inventor. He also created something called Magic the Gathering. You might have heard of that.
Never heard of it.
Exactly. And he's now he's done independent design, it's going to be soon, and it's going to be notified on. I will be notified on launch when that happens. So I cannot wait, and that is actually very smart.
Extremely smart.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'd buy it. But this, not so smart.
That's dumb.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. You either die the hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. Are you smarter than Rudy Giuliani? He took the F around train. Now it's time for him to find out because... Remember when he filed for an appeal for that bankruptcy case?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been denied. So everybody's coming for their money.
Combined with the fact that he also took a tumble at the RNC tonight as well.
No, he didn't take a tumble at the RNC tonight. Last night, I believe. And according to blooperlaw.com... His debt includes a $148 million judgment stemming from a defamation case brought by two Georgia election workers.
Oops.
Yep. Like I said, he took the F around train. Now it's time for him to find out.
Hmm. So, it's hot. I need the Big Gulp version of the Haterade.
Oh, I got you, buddy.
Haterade!
All right, so while we were recording last week, Redbox quietly shut down, well, everything. The kiosks, the streaming, everything. The parent company, Chicken Soup for the Soul Entertainment, initially filed for Chapter
11. I did not know that they reported the Chicken Soup for the Soul bit.
They filed for Chapter 11. They quickly pivoted to Chapter 7. And if you know anything about bankruptcy law, you know that Chapter 7 is basically the finish line that no business wants to cross.
No.
And they went from chicken soup to chicken bone and gizzards.
Yeah, and it gets worse. Another service offered by Chicken Soup for the Soul Entertainment... Crackle.
Really? I thought Sony owned Crackle.
They bought it from Sony.
Okay.
According to the Roku community, with Chicken Soup for the Soul liquidating under Chapter 7, they are looking for... They're either looking for a buyer for Crackle, or they're just going to shutter it wholesale.
I mean, unfortunately, if you look at it, besides Sports Jeopardy, which has been now, I think, what, a couple of years since that's happened? Programming has Crackle... Yeah, it's been a while. What programming has Crackle given you?
Reruns, mostly.
Exactly. I mean, and that's just a problem that most cable networks have right now in general, is lots of reruns, nothing new and original, which makes it really easy, or easier... to migrate over to streaming from cable.
Hey, if I am the likes of, let's just say, Keto Lorber or Shout Studios, I pounce on them. There is a market for off-broadcast reruns.
Yes.
There is. However, it's not on Crackle. Where are the Crackle executives going?
Crackle executives are going all over the daggone place. This is actually going to make sense because Paramount Plus is going global with Drag Race. Because they have the new RuPaul's Drag Race Global All-Stars launching on August 16th on Paramount Plus. We have the contestants. And they are representing the U.S., Alyssa Edwards, representing Belgium, Athena Likas, representing the Philippines, Ava Laqueen, representing Mexico, Galavaro, representing the UK, Kitty Scott Claus, representing Australia, Queen Kong, representing Brazil, Miranda Labrau, representing Italy, Nailania, representing Canada, Pythia, representing France, Soi de Muse, representing Switzerland.
What?
Tessa Testicle. And representing Sweden, Vanity Vane.
Now, if you've been on the World of Wonder Network, you've seen most, if not all, of these drag queens. And almost all of them have their version of RuPaul's Drag Race somewhere. If not on the World of Wonder Network, other places where you can watch it.
Correct. Quoting RuPaul in a statement, "The world is not ready for RuPaul's Drag Race Global All-Stars. 12 queens representing their home countries raised the stakes to a whole new level. Plus the international mix of charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent will, pardon my French, blow your minds.
Code blue for Chico.
Yes, but you know what? That was our definitely global media pros.
Yep.
I got pros in different area codes. Area codes.
In this week's Media Pro Report, Ryan Seacrest vlogs his first day on the job. He's like a kid in a candy store, I swear to God.
He's having fun. He looks happy.
He's very happy. Rita Ora gets advice from Brandy on the set of Descendants, The Rise of Red, for Disney. Nicolas Cage. He's done well for himself. He was almost on The Dating Game, believe it or not.
Back in the day?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Rob Lowe says that Travis Kelce will be the perfect game show host for Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity?
I agree with that. I do.
Yep. But for the pros of the week, we have to end the segment on a very, very... very somber note, because it seems like we've had one obituary after another, and we're going to go over all of them, starting with Benji Gregory, Brian Tanner from ALF. He was on I'm Telling, Funhouse, and a Young People's Edition of The Dating Game. Dr. Ruth Westheimer, who was on episodes of 1 vs. 100, Hollywood Squares, and Win, Lose, or Draw, and, fun fact, Jason?
My high school graduation speaker back in 1985. Yes, I am aging myself, so.
It's okay, Pop-Pop, we still love you.
Go on.
Janet Doherty, who was on episodes of Dancing with the Stars, Celebrity Name Game, Celebrity Blackjack, Win, Lose, or Draw, Scrabble, and I'm Telling. Richard Simmons, who was on episodes of Sing Your Face Off, Dancing with the Stars, Hollywood Squares, Wheel of Fortune, Figure It Out, Match Game, Family Feud, Super Password, Wordplay, Body Language, Dance Fever, and Battle Stars, and was one of the on-field reporter hosts for the one episode of the Great American Ultra Quiz, hosted by Rowan and Martin.
Also was also on Whose Lies Is It Anyway, too.
Yep. Jacoby Jones, who was in third place on season 16 of Dancing with the Stars. James the King, who was on Password Plus and the Match Game Hollywood Squares Hour. And Naomi Pomeroy, who was on episodes of Top Chef Masters, Top Chef, The Taste, Knife Fight, and Iron Chef America.
Oof. Gordon, ow. Just ow. Really.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate. Can we have a moment of silence, please? Thank you.
Yes.
And those are your pros.
And that is Brain Vision. Jason, if you would, please.
Button right here. And we're going to be doing some line reading and seeing what's between them right after this, because Brain Vision News has just ended, and Act 3 is about to come back right after this break. This is 5-1. And we love to interrupt. We'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
WLTI is presented by Danny and Ainsley Make-A. Yes, Danny and Ainsley are in the movie-making business now, but all of their actors have off teeth and six fingers on one hand. Not to mention their script looks like some sort of alien language. That is Danny and Ainsley Make-A. Coming to your theater or drive-in near you this summer.
You mean they'll still have theaters this summer?
Well, no. But you see, the thing is that you forgot the most important part.
What's that?
It's going to be Danny, Ainsley, and Lana.
Good night, everybody.
Yes, but before I burn my eyes out with that one and seeing what the AI screws up there. We have a game, which is one of our favorite games, which is called Reading Between the Lines. We're going to have six quotes, and we're going to tell you what they really meant to say or are kind of saying under the covers. Like this, Chico.
Like this. Quote number one. These are actual quotes from actual people, actually. Our first quote is from Julie Chen Moonves, the host of Big Brother. My bold prediction of something that's going to happen on Big Brother this summer is I get involved in the game like never before. You're going to see a whole new side to the Chen bot.
What is she really saying?
What is she really saying?
What she's really saying is that if I say enough distracting stuff, maybe you won't realize that you can't call us out on our BS.
I'm going to have a menage a trois with Zingbot and Lana. Ainsley is going to videotape it. It will be out of this world. Ha 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 ha.
Okay, my bold prediction is I'm going to sit back and give CBS carte blanche to use my voice and image and just have AI do all the work while I collect the money.
I hope they really don't go in that direction. I really hope. I mean, yeah, Chenbot's going to be fun. I don't mind yet the first thing that they pull with voting on the new person there, I guess. We'll see.
Yeah, we will see. Gordon, do you have one now?
All right, I've got the next one.
Okay.
Now, remember that we were talking before last episode about Corus Entertainment in Canada?
Yeah.
And that there is no more Big Brother, which was what Corus Entertainment was going to be doing. Except they're not going to be doing it. And now they are removing 800 positions or 25% of their workforce since the beginning of the 2023 fiscal year. In addition to that, two legacy radio stations in Vancouver and Edmonton are also going bye-bye. And I quote from CEO John Gosling, "Our board of directors has given us a clear mandate to decisively right-size the business and create a more sustainable future. This means our priorities are to aggressively cut costs and manage our liabilities. We are making tough decisions to shutter areas of the business that we can no longer sustain and pause longer-term development activities." What are they really saying?
My mentor, David Zaslav, taught me everything I knew.
I was just about to say, David Zaslav wrote the book on, cutting costs to, we're going to cut costs, we're going to slash workforce, I'm going to use someone else's money to bolster the business, then I'm going to take all of the money that we would have made and, go on a vacation or something.
Or buy a new yacht or a boat.
Yeah, we screwed up. We learned from David Zaslav. Now we're going into the Samuel Friedman playbook to see what we can do to fix this one.
I actually have one, and this is an NAWC WLTI crossover, and I can do this. Trust me on this one, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Quote, WWE is filled with stories, right? And it's constantly a program with stories ending and new stories beginning. I've never been too concerned with the word legacy, and I don't want you to mix messages here. It doesn't mean I shortchange any second on the canvas. I wish I can do it infinitely, but now I just wanted to try and do something special for a globe of people that I owe everything to, and I think this is hopefully the best way to do it. That was John Cena announcing a 2025 year-long retirement tour around the world so that he can end his WWE career at the end of December 2025. What is he really saying here?
There's that sunset I'm going to be walking into, but I'm going to take the scenic route, which is full of all that money.
Gordon?
You know, I made a lot of money. So, are you smarter than me? No. I'm smarter than you. Give me my money.
Cena's saying, yes, give me my money, but I'm actually one of the rare wrestlers that can actually go out on his own.
But really, and it's all about the money.
It is all about the money.
Here we go. Money talk.
Here comes the money.
Yep. Oh, it is. It is. Chico, do you have another one?
I do have another one. You know what we haven't talked about that everybody else in the world is talking about?
What's that?
Love Island, USA.
Ah, yes. Go on.
Here's Arianna Maddox, the host of Love Island USA, talking about what she views as a bloodbath on the forthcoming season finale of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the villa is very full right now. I'll just say that. People gotta go. There's only so many beds. All right, next one. This is Gina Rodriguez on how to play Lucky 13. The cool thing is that it's really more about what you know about yourself. It's not about, I have to get them all right. It's about knowing how many you believe you got out of 13. So if you get all 13 right and you're like, I know I got all 13, then you're going to win $1 million. That's going to be rare because they're pretty difficult questions. They're very innovative, but you get to bet on yourself.
Well, I'm going to be at the T-bar for this one.
Okay.
Because, you know, I auditioned for the show, and that is the format. What happens is that you have 13 true or false questions, but it's not necessarily what you get right. It's what you think you get right, and it's going to be the question is what you're reading between the lines is. I'm gonna be brutal here, but what the hell? We're hoping for another format that ABC can use because they need one.
Hey, I got one. Okay, so this format is going to be an absolute gold mine. Not only is it going to be easy and fun to watch, but someone's going to gum up the works and think they need to get everything right, and it's going to save us a whole lot of money.
Correct.
So season one, you're going to think we're going to give away $8 million. Watch us only give away a fraction of that, and you will watch. Because it is a game show on ABC, and it's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Gordon?
It's new. It's a new format. You've never seen it before. Ever. It's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic. Wait, Hot Seat on line one? Okay, we'll be right back.
Hot Seat?
Hot Seat.
As in Price is Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Only with true false instead of higher or lower.
Okay. All right. That's fine. Gordon, you have the last one.
I do. Let's talk about something, you know, we want to talk about a sports crossover. Let's talk about the Arena Football League.
Woo-hoo! Okay.
So, a sports article has come out saying that the championship game, which is supposed to be playing on Friday in the American Dream Mall, by the way, may not be happening at all.
Oh.
So, basically what they said, what American Dream Mall has said, is that, we'll host the event as long as we're paid in full. That, according to Time Union, who also said, and I quote, "The social media paddock related to the game was the result of keyboard warriors. The details related to Friday's game will happen. There's just some specifics that need to be worked out." So, read between the lines, A, and B, are we actually getting an Arena Football League championship game?
No, because you ain't got no money. You ain't got no money. They got nothing.
I'm going to let RuPaul speak for me.
Sashay away.
Okay.
Yeah.
I actually think they're going to have it because I think that would be, if they don't, that would be a disaster. And that means bye-bye Arena Football League. Even though it may be bye-bye Arena Football League anyway.
Oh, it's going to be bye-bye Arena Football League. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be bye-bye Arena Football League.
So, which is sad, but whatever.
Kind of, it is a sad way to end the segment, but we've got a speed round coming up right after this break here at, on 5-1. Of course, this is We Love to Interrupt. One more segment to go, folks. Let's do it.
WLTI is presented by WLTI Games AFL 2025. That is WLTI's first venue into the video game world, surprisingly not game show related, where you will get to visit everywhere from the Nashville Municipal Auditorium to the Tony's Pizza Event Center to the American Dream Mall. That is AFL 25, now available for your Switch, PS5, and Xbox Series, except not really, because really, who would buy that? Seriously, who would buy that?
Not really, but you know what I would buy? A speed round, and let's start this now. Jeopardy, Wheel of Champions for we're about a week left.
We're about a week left, and we're going to see five different champions in that week.
So, RuPaul's All-Stars, it's still Eddie Queen's race, isn't it?
It is Eddie Queen's race, but in another way, I want to say it's Egeria or Gottmix's race.
No, I don't think so.
I'm not sure how you can say that one, especially since Gottmix is falling on the wayside in terms of the scoring. So, Big Brother. Are we getting somebody knocked out of the house this week?
I think we're going to get somebody knocked out of the house this week. I think it's going to be a very eventful couple of days.
We don't know who the eight eight are yet, because we'll find that out tomorrow.
Yeah, we don't know what's going to happen, but we do know that Friday is typically nomination day, and who knows where that's going to lead.
No, I don't think we have much else, do we?
No, all of the good stuff begins tomorrow with Press Your Luck and Lucky 13, which we are going to talk about next week.
Yep, and I make sure I will DVR that. Lucky 13.
I'm going to watch both on Disney Plus the day after because I have a Hulu.
The Hulu Disney Plus. Yes, that is true. But do we have any mail or comments or anything like that?
We don't, but if you want to send us some, our address is WLTIGameshowNewsNet.com. We are on all social media at GameshowNewsNet. I am at Dino R. Alexander.
I am at Beat the Block the number 2.
I am at GFNN Haterade.
And of course, the network is at 5and1net. That's the number 5, ANDONENET. We talk about anything and everything.
And by the way, before we talk about that, just look, we need to announce our YouTube channel. We have a new YouTube channel now.
We do. 5and1net is our YouTube.
Right. And we also have an Instagram and our Facebook page. But yes. We are also checked out. We actually did a catch-up edition on the BS this week. Just shooting the our mouths off. I was about to say something else with VRM and myself and you, talking about contracts, CFL, College Football 25, and all the news as we're heading into training camps next week.
Yes. By the way, we meant to mention that Ian, our fourth street, Ian McClinn, usually publishes his pigskin pits on his Facebook and the BS group. He's going to do that next week, I believe.
Yeah, that'll be start. Yes. And of course, the NAWC. We will be back, I believe, on Friday. As we head towards All In, and we also have SummerSlam in a couple of weeks. And also, we have a new international champion as MJF defeated Will Ospreay in a 59-minute, 58-second match, believe it or not. Almost a 60-minute draw. Gordon, UBA today, new divisions, playoffs, what the hell is going on?
Well, it's the three-week break between the Elite Eight, which we now have, and Battle Bowl, which they will now be going in. So we talk about new divisions. There's a lot of new teams joining. It's going to be fun.
Yes, UBAToday.info for all your Underground Bowling Association needs. And by the way, where will Battle Bowl be held this year? Two places, right? Texas and Delaware, correct?
As Battle Bowl Southwest in Texas, Battle Bowl Northeast in Delaware.
Yes. Okay. And Chico, it was a thing. You have a new episode, don't you?
Yep. And we just dropped a new episode. We're wrapping up Deadpool and Wolverine month with Viva Laughlin, not just one of the worst shows of the 2000s, but one of the worst shows in TV history. What can you say about a show that was mercifully pulled after 2 episodes?
Not a record, though. Not
a record. I believe the record still stands at half an episode, which is currently held by Turn On.
No, you were also talking about You're in the Picture with Jackie Gleason.
That wasn't the record. Remember Turn On, it was pulled halfway through.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You're right.
We also have an instant reaction with Greg playing EA Sports College Football 25 for the first time. By the way, that comes out Friday, although if you do have the digital download, you're playing it right now, you lucky son. Next week, it'll be all about our 2 premieres. 3 if you count Dress by Tour. We'll review Dress by Tour and Lucky 13. And we're also going to go over what happened with the Whammy as we begin Season 6 of Press Your Luck, along with everything else, including the news of the next 7 days. For Gordon Pepper and Jason Block, my name is Chico Alexander. Our time is up. Thank you for yours. Game over. And spread the love.
Good night. Martin production.